Okay. This is where we are still. Actually, I guess Wednesday we start moving into Aquarius. We're still in the sea goat. And the moon is in the sea goat also today. It went in Cancer this morning, or Capricorn this morning. And we came into this month with the moon in Capricorn, a full moon, right? It's full in Capricorn. Best I remember. Because I thought, when I was looking at the internet this morning, I thought there's something really familiar about this. And it was on a Sunday, too, also. So I don't know what phase the moon is in. I did not look at that. Does anybody have any idea? Can't be full. So must be waning or something. Anyway, and this really is a beautiful sign to me. We have not fully experienced this except in the laying down of our personal lives for Jesus' sake, Christ's sake. As Karen said, he did it all. I mean, now he has a body of people that have to bring that expression and put it in shoe leather. Thus, we have Capricorn, because that's one thing that Capricorn says, the lawgiver shall not depart until Shiloh comes. And that was speaking of the Moses of law being kept, having to be put into shoe leather. Remember, they had shoes that would not wear out. They wore them for 40 years, and their eyesight didn't abate, nor did their shoes wear out. So that tells me that that was a very supernatural thing. Actually, everything that happened to those children of Israel was about God calling a people that had never been a people. And now we're experiencing that in mankind, where he's calling a people. Of course, there's a lot of conflict right now because, like Karen said, people are calling anything higher consciousness is God. Well, I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. To me, that's like anything non-specific is God. Well, hello. You've got to have a relationship with a being of some kind.
Absolutely.
And fortunately, we had the man named Jesus Christ that was birthed. Well, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So he was in the mind of the Father from the very beginning. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That was slain before. When was he slain? Before anything else was done. He was already slain in spirit. Of course, it had to be put in shoe leather. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He went through the paces, so to speak. And I feel like as we look at the examples in Scripture, especially just in Genesis, you can see a character building. It's not finished, but you can see a character building that will embody the Jesus the Christ. He was the embodiment. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord, the Scripture says. That's a mouthful. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in that we call Lord. And I know there are all kinds of religions and all kinds of faiths and all kinds of things you could be have tapped into. But I believe, like the scripture says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. If I don't believe that, I am not what I say I am. I'm a farce. So I know that I was called when the sons of God sang together before the foundation of the world, just like Jesus Christ was, to live in this age, to live this little life here in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, to be at whatever peon and pedestals, God help us. Anyway, that has never been my thing. I don't like pedestals, but I appreciate this because it's helping a body to get about.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're really in this Aquarian age are paving the way for this. Mankind, if this age were here now, and in a sense, there's a people that understand this age, but don't know how to completely live in it, because it's going to require so much that mankind couldn't put up with right now. It's going to require you put it everything in your feet, no matter what you say. You're going to walk in it. That will be the requirement of this scapegoat. Because he laid down everything to be that. He's part fish and part goat. So that speaks of his Christianity. It also speaks of the fish that's in Aquarius. We see the two fish in Pisces. And there's two fish. Remembering one of those fish is always just going along with whatever in religion. Just not going anywhere. It's just going along, swimming along, not against the current. But there's one fish in Pisces that is determined to not go with that elliptical flow and go straight toward the sun. And so God's always had a remnant of a people that wouldn't settle for religion. This wouldn't do it. Fortunately, I had a grandmother that rebelled against church system. She saw that they required things that had nothing to do with God. It was just a man law, because she was in the Church of God. And they had all kinds of rules for women. The men didn't have any rules. I mean, they really didn't have any, but the women had rules. No makeup and dresses with the sleeves to here. You couldn't show your wrist if you were a member of the Church of God. A woman couldn't. Mm-hmm. Grandmother said, I've told it before, and I'll probably tell it 1,000 more times, so y'all good and sick of hearing it. She said, if a man is lusting after my old ugly arm, he's got a problem. And I thought that was hilarious, you know, and true. So, and they have some other bylaws. I mean, all churches have got certain legalities that just grate upon us because we've been free so long from man-made church rules. We've just been free of that. And I'm glad. I'm glad that we were able to be set free and shown that it is Christ within you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with all the church rules and laws and systems and whatever that all is. So when we see that those two fish in the age of Pisces, and really didn't... We really didn't live in that church age. Maybe we came along right at the end of it, because that was kind of closing up for us as the Aquarius began to dawn in the 50s, There's a controversy about that. Some say 60s, some say 70s. I don't really care. It dawned, you know. And that beautiful song was born out of the fifth dimension. I wonder who is stupid enough to say that was coincidence that the fifth dimension sang the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Give me a living break and be smart. Anyway, things like that, you can't make that up. You couldn't make it up. Nobody's smart enough to make that up. It just happened. God made it be that way. So, anyway, in Pisces, you see the two fish, and then we move over into Aquarius, which is not up there right now. And it's one fish. It's become one understanding. And you don't see a divine feminine in Aquarius because she's hid with Christ in God. The divine feminine has become one with her husbandman. Thus, it's not a separate thing. But man keeps trying to make it a separate thing. That's why we're hearing about all these different faiths and all these different religions and whatever they all are. Fortunately, I was given an understanding early that there was a being. Now, I did not understand Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I do now. And sometimes he's very prevalent in me, and sometimes he's not prevalent a bit because I'm not identifying with him. I'm identifying with who I am. So that's just being honest about it. So it's good to be honest. Anyway, I wasn't even going to say any or all of that, but I did. To turn to I guess we won't turn there because I didn't write it down. Has anybody got a concordance with them? I got one right here. Okay, the Strong's is priceless. Turn to Matthew 20 and 28. Let's read a little bit so it makes sense. I don't like to pluck scripture because you don't know where it came from. And, you know, it's just like out there. Okay. Start with the 22nd. Or the 20th. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith to him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. I mean, really. And are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said unto him, we're able. Oh, well, that's almost laughable, but anyway. And he saith to them, well, you shall drink indeed of my cup, and you shall be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared of my Father. And, of course, he tells us who those are. The sheep on the right and the goats on the left. We already know this. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And Jesus called and said unto them, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, for whosoever will be the great among you, let him be your minister, and whomsoever shall be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Just one time it says it here. Then Mark also says it, and then I think it's in Titus. It is. Wait a minute. No, that's 1 Timothy 2:6. So there's lots of scripture if you're looking up ransom. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. You did hear those four kind of prayers. I have taught on them before. They're very interesting because it's different kinds of prayers that we pray for one another. Sometimes I heard myself before. I had the issue in the hospital, or had to go to the hospital. But a few days before that, I was here alone, nobody here but me. And I could feel the move of the Holy Spirit upon me. So I just began to pray, because it was a spirit of prayer moving. And I could hear myself praying for things. I mean, people I hadn't prayed for in a long time, and some I had. For things that were really unutterable, it wasn't even necessary that I understood what I prayed. But it was necessary that I prayed in that spirit, because it gave spirit utterance to pray things that I couldn't possibly understand or know at this time, and probably for my own health, because I guess they kind of called such a thing that I went through a miracle, because I could have been a whole lot worse. Anyway, so these kinds of prayers are interesting if you ever choose to study. make these prayers for kings, for all that are in authority, that they may lead, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. How many?
All.
How many men was that?
All.
I got you. And to come into the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Hello. I guess they're pitching this Bible out because people are not hearing this. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So, who did he give himself a ransom for? Mankind. Mankind was God's idea. And then people want to come here and live a completely holy spiritual life. We were sent here to be humanity, folks. And so we are a mixture. We can live it in Him, or we're learning how to live in Christ. Some are further along than others. That's just the way it is. And we can either accept that or disagree with it or go to the bank with it or stay home and don't use it. Whatever. But it's the truth. There are realms and there are echelons and there are hierarchies and there are things that we've forgotten about because we don't need those right now. Okay? If we need them, we'd understand them better. The word ransom. It means to sever, to release, to deliver, to redeem, to wholly rescue a person. It's the full redemptive price. It's like a dyeing process when you dye fabric to completely cover with bitumen. And bitumen was a substance somewhat like tar that they used in both the ark that Noah built, also in the ark of that Moses was placed in. They pitched it in within and without. And sometimes we get a leaky boat. I've done that before. So it's important to, you can't just cover yourself outside with the blood of Christ. It won't get you there. It has to be an inner covering, work in your heart that's so, so sincere. It's not happenstance. It's not maybe if. You know, just be around anybody for a few minutes and you know if they have a relationship. You know. You just know. And you know if they don't. And you know if they want to or don't want to. I mean, it's obvious. If you want to, you build it. So if you don't want to, you don't build that. You don't worry with it. Genesis 6 and 14. These are just examples of what we look like inside or should. Okay. Let's just read this and let's skip to the ninth verse because we'll be getting into something else if we don't. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah means complete rest. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sounds like the earth today to me. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of this flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I'm going to destroy. The word there is erase. So there's an imprint of an image there left that he wanted, but he wanted that corruption erased. So what does he do? He causes a friction and a conflict. That's what you do when you erase something. So, and it's being dealt with. Well, that's not fashionable. Nobody wants to be dealt with. They want to live their life, breathe their breath, and think their thought. They don't want any mental or reasonable interruptions. They want everything to go perfect and smooth. Well, what are we doing here then? It ain't going to go perfect and smooth as much as we'd like it to. If I could have had it perfect and smooth, I'd have sure done it. But I didn't ever create it, so I don't know how to say it. So I'm going to destroy them with the earth. So that generation, he began to deal with a generation of people. And we see it now. I mean, it's going on right now. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. It's the only time gopher wood is used. A specific called out humanity, I'm telling you. Look for the humanity that's gopher wood. That knows without him they're worthless and full of holes. And it's not good wood, this gopher wood at all. It was terrible wood. Make an ark of gopher wood. Worthless, knows it's worthless, ain't good for nothing, and knows that. Without him, I'm absolutely nothing. That's what Karen was saying this morning. So look for that kind of person that knows without a Savior, they're dead in the water. Okay. Make thee an ark of this specific kind of wood. Okay? Every time he uses a specific kind of humanity. Wood is humanity. That's all. This worthless wood, and thou shalt make an ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. That means you cover all those holes and cracks. You start dealing with your humanity and allowing yourself to be dealt with and realizing that your life is just purely you're sent here to live a certain life. And you can either choose to just do what you're supposed to do or choose not to. He's a powerful God. He gives us room to just choose not to. And when we choose not to, we get to do it again and again and again and again until we figure out where the mistake is. What do I need to do? Okay. This is the fashion thou shalt make of it. Now this pitch is the same thing as the word bitumen, which is like a tar, and nothing could get beyond that. So he says, pitch it within and without. Well, a lot of people, like I'm saying, religion is just an outward thing. It's never placed inside or momentarily inside. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. That's exactly what the length of the tabernacle was, the circumference, so to speak, around the tabernacle. Very same. Wonder why. It's just, to me, a no-brainer. And the breadth of it shall be 50 cubits. 50 is that year beyond Jubilee. It's 5 to the first power, which is fullness. 5 is grace to the second power. 50. That's all it is. Beyond grace, beyond yourself, is that zero that is infinite and no end to. And the height thereof, 30 cubits. And there you go with your three compartments again. A window, hallelujah. A window speaks of the Holy Spirit. You can't get light in anything unless you have some light of spirit. People got spirit, all right. It just ain't God's spirit. It's a spirit. I know it when I get one and it's not him. Do you hear me? And I know it when you get one, it's not him. It's just plain. Anyway, thou shalt make a window where you can get the light of God on a subject. Get over to the light and read the instructions or whatever. What does the light of the Spirit say? A window thou shalt make in the ark, in a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side. Well, why in the side? Where was Jesus pierced? In the side. And blood and water came out and scared the hootenanny out of the guards, because they didn't understand the blood and water. With lower, second, and third stories. There you got it. Spirit, soul, and body.
And the woman came out of the side.
Yes, she did. What was the little cartoon? The kids used to watch it. God took a rib from Adam's side and gave it to him to be his bride. That's what it was. I always thought that was so cute. But we know now that that divine feminine is on our left. When Dorothy was here, she really ministered to me about that, and because she has the knowledge of how the body works, physical body. And she said my divine feminine had been wounded, really wounded. And I said, okay, I got you, but I got to know what that wounding is about, you know, and understand it. And I know it's wounded because something inside of me hurts. I can feel the wounding. Just say whatever. Anyway, the lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it, which it just said is body, soul, spirit. And You know, people don't want to say they don't want to. They want a new body. Well, I mean, I don't know if I want a new body or not. I don't in the sense they're saying, because in order to get that uncorruptible body that we're talking about, we then become unseen. We need a physical body to manifest life in. So that, to me, that's just a plain. I don't want a... it's not time for the incorruptible body to be manifest on the earth. I know that it's coming because of technology and everything that they're doing is going to cause man to come to a place. Now, they will not do it. It will not be done without a relationship with the Jesus Christ. It's not, that's not going to happen. He's not going to allow it. It's like these cloning things that they've done. Kind of scared me and worried me because I thought, well, they could bring forth a nation of clones to do the fighting, you know. It could be like these science fiction movies. And I hate those things. But if you look at reality and what man's doing, he's doing everything he can to take away the personality of your soul, everything, and say you've got to be one with this one and you've got to be one with that one and you've got to think this way and you've got to think that way. That is so much BS that I just can't believe that man is so ignorant. He's smart, but he's ignorant. That's stupid. We are all individuals and we each have a soul that is so redeemable. That is what the Father wants. He wants the divine feminine.
The body has many
He wants
members.
A wife, yes. I'm telling you.
Yes.
Who can be that wife to him that wants to serve this being? To me, it's just too wonderful to bear. And in all of that, he lets us live this life, be husbands and wives just to show us what he has in store. He's not a possessive being. He wants us to enjoy and appreciate walking in this flesh. He wants us to be alchemists and take all that negative wounding or whatever it is in my life and change it. Just turn it into something beautiful and better. That's all. So the wounding will be worth it, whatever all that might be. Sorry, God. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus 12. All right, you know this story very well. And the Lord's 12:1. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of bondage. They're in Egypt when this happens. And like we're not in bondage, of course we are. We're in bondage to the things that Karen spoke of this morning. The ego, the carnal mind, the intellect, the willfulness, the wrong kind of desires, so to speak, misplaced desires, whatever. All those things, emotions too, if we're driven by the wrong emotions. And we're seeing that acted out on television by some of the nation's blacks. And it's regrettable that they choose to go and use those negative emotions when they could use turn and just really become examples for a new kind of person. These that have just been redeemed, you know, away from all of the hate and the anger. Let me tell you, forgiveness is a big thing, and that needs to happen. I mean, after all, none of us have had slaves. That is done past, way past. So why are we having to pay the price for that? What other people did? I just think it's... And why is the hate thing carried on and on and on and on and on? It's impossible. It's ridiculous. It's like you talking about the couples and the children. Why all the anger? Why now? You know, why is it being stirred? Anyway, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. The first thing that passes your mind is what he's saying. This should be more important to you than anything else. He's telling all of Israel in bondage, speak to the whole congregation of Israel and say, in the 10th day of this month, you shall take to them every man a lamb. All right, we know who the lamb is, don't we? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus was a lamb as well as a lion. We know that. That's just it. That's history, too. So, I don't know what people are going to do with that, because it is a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the household is too little for the lamb, well, I have to laugh when I think about that. Let his neighbor next to the house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating habits. How much of the lamb can you eat? Well, when Cheryl told us the little story, they ate it all when they did the ritual. They slew the lamb. They watched it bleed. They did the doorpost. And they stayed up all night long and ate all of the lamb. So, are we going to eat the whole? I don't believe we ate the whole thing, right? Well, we should be eating all of whatever that lamb that is slain is. I'm not sure I know what that all is, but anyway. And if the household, I read that, then blah, blah. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it from the sheep or the goats. So, we have two sacrificial animals, and don't forget it. The zodiac is covered with sacrificial animals. Well, especially Capricorn and Aries and Cancer. Cancer has a shepherd in it, and he's holding two kids of goats in the picture. And that speaks of the two sheepfolds that I have very little understanding on. Because Jesus said, I have sheep that are not of this fold. So don't ask me. That's not revealed to me. I don't know exactly what that means. I've heard every kind of teaching, every kind of speculation. As far as I'm concerned, nobody's got it yet. I hadn't heard the truth. So it's still speculation. I just seem to make one of them. I don't, the other one is cool, but it may be down the road or something. you shall keep it for to the 14th day. You got it on the 10th. You put it up for 4 days. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall come together and kill it as the evening approaches. In the evening, that's after 3, right? According to the Jewish calendar.
Yeah. That's the same time Jesus died.
Yes. They say 3. Yes. And the scapegoat was also an evening sacrifice. Okay, you shall take the blood, and this really got me. I don't know why, but my mind told me, it said paint, it does not. Listen to this. You shall take the blood and strike it, to the two side posts. That means the left and the right brain. Do you hear me? It don't mean something out yonder. And it don't mean a natural blooming lamb. It means the doorpost of your mind. Do you hear me? And don't you let anybody tell you it means anything else. Both the right and the left. And then the upper post so nothing else can get in. And strike it. Lord, he'd just like to kill me to study that. Let me see what it means. Oh, yeah, I brought this so we could do it together. It's a Hebrew term, of course. And I didn't have time to study the Hebrew on the internet, but we'll see what it's 5414 is the root, so. I tell you, I don't know what it is about numbers, but I love to turn them around and invert them and change them. Okay. The word strike. And we've been taught paint. I've used paint myself, paint the doorpost. So when I read the word strike, I thought, I wonder how dumb we are. We just make up stuff. Makes me mad that it could escape my mind for so long and I not really look at the root understanding of the word. To me, that is just stupid. But I didn't, or haven't, obviously, because I don't remember this. 5414 is a primitive root that means to give with the greatest latitude of application. To put or make, to add, apply, appoint, ascribe, assign. Do you hear all this? Just blows your mind because it's so much more expansive than just the word paint. It also goes back to the word to, like you dye something. Well, to dye wood, you've got to keep dipping it and dipping it and dipping it. So the idea of them striking the lintel with that dead animal just makes me sick. I mean, I can't think about him killing the lamb. Never mind taking his little body and beating it against. I'm so glad we don't live in that day. So glad that it's much more beautiful than that could ever be. And cleaner. It means to avenge, be healed, bestow. Oh, gosh. Consider, count, deliver, direct, distribute, to give over, to grant, to hang. Let's see. To send out. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It means a total giving of yourself to something just as she started off with this morning. I mean, when you're hot, you're hot, and you were hot this morning, getting all of us stirred up out of our complacencies. Anyway, wait a minute, there's one more term that uses strike, and we need to use it. What happens when you get a concordance? It blows your mind. Okay. To me, this is even more beautiful. It means to really touch somebody's heart. I mean, I had people touching me all the time in the hospital. But few touched my heart. There's a difference. To lay the hand upon for any purpose, it also means to lie with a woman, with your wife, to the act of making love is so beautiful in a clean, the clean marriage bed is just beautiful. It's so clean that nothing can make that dirty. It's so precious because it's something so much higher. God gives us seed. He ain't thinking about sex. However sex he made for us to make it beautiful so we would do that and enjoy that. It's supposed to be an enjoyable, beautiful explosion of love for each other. So when I read this, it just touched something deep and precious, and it's like the scripture for me that said, I'm going to show you a path that the vulture's eye can never see, because it's so beautiful that the vulture can't behold it. It's so pure and so precious. Sorry. Means to beat, to draw nigh, to cause to happen, to join completely, to smite, to strike. It's just so much more meaningful than just paint the door. The dying process, something we studied made me think about it, and it's left me now, but it was the linen. They gathered flax and separated the little fine pieces, threads, I guess they call them, after soaking it in something to cause it to separate, you know. I can't imagine in those ancient days what all they did, you know. Of course, we keep learning that they were probably smarter than us. And that makes me want to laugh because we think we're pretty smart, you know, and we can do all these things. Anyway, that's the word, strike the doorpost. So it means so much more than the word paint. I'm going, my Lord Jesus, how can we take something so beautiful and confine it like that and not just let it explode and expand and expand and expand and touch and redeem people? I mean, those kind of things redeem us. They make us worthy when we feel unworthy. It makes us worth something when others don't think anybody's worth something. It's something you can reach in that's tangible and say, yes, this can live, this can work, this is right. I stand for this. We see the preciousness, that beautiful cancer thing with the crab. He walked, how did you get in that door? Nobody let her in. His dog. You got a mind of your own, sugar.
I think you left the door.
I'm sure Johnny might come in after it. I must not close it all the way.
Oh, it don't matter. She knows we're here, and she's determined every Sunday. So.
Yeah.
I guess she's holy somewhere. Anyway, it's blood-soaked wood for humanity, just as you began the service. This is exactly what you were saying, maybe in a more expansive way. But you could not have known my heart, because I didn't know my own heart when I was going to share. But God knows, so He goes ahead of us and just shows us beautiful, beautiful things that man can't put together, man can't reproduce. All he can do is be a puppet on the string somewhere, because God does things that are undoable. Man just can't do them. This very morning in my life, I have to say this. I kept thinking, Father, I just can't go. I just don't. How am I going to get ready to do this? And just when I sat down at my dressing table, I felt a new energy just take me. And it was like the little engine in the book, the little engine that could. He said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And I could feel that energy. I could feel energy enough to want to get aggravated at somebody. That's when I know I feel good, because I can get aggravated. Anyway, it just changed my whole thought and the way I felt. Everything about me. Where did that energy come from? Did one of you give it to me? I think not. But I think my Father gave it to me. Because I did not have it when I got up.
You know, Pope Francis, they told a story about him when he first went out to the crowd after he was made Pope. And he was thinking before, you know what a humble man he is.
Yes, he is.
He was thinking before he went out there, how am I going to do this?